Even though I like how Tech looks down a man most of the time, I would stake my life on the Tech power play this year, or the Tech penalty kill, rather, not the Tech power play. Lord, would I not stake my life on the Tech power play? Oh,
Dead man walking.
that is a de that is a dying man's game right there. But
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 18 of season 4 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
And Matt Cavender.
Hey, everyone. As long as we're in agreement, it's the state of high school hockey. I'm good.
Okay, Hockey Town. And don't say they don't say it, because I heard it on the Red Wings broadcast that I watched the other night. They still say it.
It's not on branding anywhere anymore.
Okay. We were unable to pin down a guest this week, even though we tried, but we do have a guest lined up for next week, which I'm excited about. We'll talk about that a little later, though. So this week we'll just focus the three of us on the Ferris State series, the CCHA in general, the Joe Sean Hour, and the upcoming rivalry weekend series with Northern Michigan. Anything else, guys?
Nothing from me.
Well, maybe we'll talk about how shitty the fans are in the ownership and leadership is in Vancouver, because that kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
All right, let's do the thank you notes and a brief note from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is F-I-E-B-K-E dental.com.
All right, welcome back. Ferris State. I think the one thing that's been made clear over the last couple weeks of the league is that the league is tight. Other than Lake State, I think anybody can beat anybody on any given night.
Yeah, Lake State even took Mankato to overtime this weekend.
Yep, yeah, they did.
That's true.
And yeah, I think this weekend was I'm satisfied with the amount of points we took out of it, to be honest, dude. We took the majority of points, and I know that I'm the notorious hater of ties here, but for the sake of our standings, I was happy to walk out of there with a split of the NCAA points and only lose the one conference point to them on Saturday. And Friday wasn't near the goal scoring outburst I was expecting, but this was a hard fought game.
I think one of the interesting things that kind of got sparked by, I forget who on Discord, but Michigan Tech has only swept one conference series this year and otherwise has given up at least 2 points every series, which I found interesting. And I know I'm kind of going all over the place on our various topics, but I really liked the Joe Sean Hour today where Joe talked about the shootout. I don't know if either of you guys got to listen today, but he kind of talked, it came up about how we struggle at shootout, and his big takeaway was, well, Blake's not a big bodied goalie, so he's giving up some part of the net no matter what he does, and so it can be a struggle in the shootout. And then, but on the reverse side, he said, but in practice, when we practice a shootout, nobody can score on him, so that kind of shows why we struggle so much in a shootout, is because we're not stretching Blake Piedla enough in practice to make him, like, challenging him enough in shootout practice. But at the same time, that also is why we can't score in a shootout and get that point.
Yeah, it is always a fine line with how to practice with your goaltender, because you don't want to hurt him. Like, You want to make sure that he's seeing the kind of shots that he will be seeing in a game situation. But by the same token, you don't want to pull some kind of move that's going to stretch his groin way out and hurt him. At least from a player perspective, I never played anywhere near the kind of hockey these guys are playing. But it is a bit of a balancing act with the guys, and maybe they're a little bit afraid to try out something fancy on him because they just don't see the point in hurting him before a game.
But they also don't score that often themselves in shootouts either. So I think they should be stretching it a little more than what they have been. But yeah, I if Michigan Tech ends up getting within a couple points of winning the league, it's going to circle back on the fact that they've just been terrible in shootouts. At least they're not terrible in overtime this year.
Yep.
But getting to the shootout hasn't been much better, but it is better for pairwise. So, you know, that's part of the reason why, even though they've struggled to get sweeps, they're not killing themselves in pairwise, because a lot of these have ended up being ties for pairwise, or, you know, a third of a win even. So, yeah, it's been interesting for sure. One of the things that Harrison brought up on the Discord today was wondering if part of the reason we seem to be struggling on Saturday, at least lately, or I think it kind of has been true, other than coming off the bye weeks, I think we have been typically better on Friday, or the first game, than the second game. And he pointed out that most teams don't have, I think we had, what, three forwards on Friday play over 20 minutes? So you wonder how much of that is Joe leaning too heavily on certain guys, but at the same time, it's gotten him this far, so I don't know what the answer is. Certainly leaning on certain guys quite a bit.
I'm not quite sure either, but watching the game on Saturday, one of the things that I noticed is that pretty much all of Ferris's goals were just like lunch pail, and the guys really just got to work and just hacked away until the puck eventually went in. And those are ones that are tough for me to fault Blake.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I don't think Blake is the MVP of this team, and I don't fault him for much of anything at all. Like, he won goaltender of the week in the CCHA this week for his performance. He got a shutout and gave up three goals on, what, 55 shots this weekend? 45 shots? I forget which. Something like that. So he's having a stellar season. He's half the reason this team is in position to, within striking distance of the McNaughton Cup, and in position to find a way to make the NCAA tournament. It does seem like, and Joe talked about it on the show today, where he felt like Friday was probably the most complete game of the season. And other than the power play, I'm with him 100% on that. Like, that team, that was a hell of a team game and effort to create offense within the systems they had versus cheating to try and get offense, which Joe said happened more Saturday. Has Augie provided you expected goals yet? I don't even know if, well, both the box scores are up, but
he has not provided me with that yet. Okay. He usually sends that to me just to talk about it and walk through it. But this was the first time that I felt like, I think Ferris really found their footing and like in the league. They didn't feel like they squeaked that one out like they did against Michigan State and GLI, like how I made the whole deal about how I love Ferris State hockey because it's not sustainable or repeatable. I think they found a way to really apply some sustained pressure and really learned how to do that by commission. And I think that they're going to become a problem for the second half. And we saw that. It was just interesting to see that after, you know, I kind of wrote them off as it's another year that's kind of like what we expected Tech to have. It was going to be a building blocks year where they got some pieces. Bob Daniels hockey is always going to get you at least competitive in the game. but they the whole team just really
well, except for a couple of years there. There was one year that they went 0 for.
Yeah.
I feel like we can bring it up because I think Harrison brought it up himself last week.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, looking at the schedule, you know, Ferris has 6 home games left to 4 road games. You know, Tech is what, 3 to 5. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of this season plays out. I know Harrison kind of rolled his eyes last week when I didn't eliminate Ferris from McNaughton Cup, but they're not that far out of this. Like I said, they're not easy games. They've got Minnesota State, Bemidji State, and Lake State at home, and Bowling Green and Northern on the road left.
Yeah, the only team that's truly out of it is Lake State.
I think St. Thomas is out of it, but I think they mathematically could still get it, but I don't think they will. Or really
it would require not only them winning out, but a lot of things to go right for them. But
yeah,
I think you are right.
Because they have, they're tied for Northern with points, but they've played 2 more games. So I think that's why they're out. So I went through and kind of used Cratch to predict what would happen. And I don't think I did it perfectly right, but I had it ending up, because obviously I don't think Lake State goes winless, but according to Cratch, they should. So I did follow that, but it basically has, if Michigan, it had Michigan Tech and Minnesota State splitting, right? So if Michigan Tech were to win Friday night in Mankato, that would mean whoever took more points on Saturday night would win the McNaughton Cup. That's how it played out according to Cratch. And Dustin's having fun with a disco ball over there, it looks like.
Yeah, that he is just...
What the heck is that?
I don't know.
This is excellent.
I just... All I did was go to CHN to try to see look up Lake State's schedule, and let me close CHN.
I don't think it's that, but... Wait, why don't you turn your camera off and turn it back on? There.
Whatever you did just worked.
Whatever you did worked, okay.
I just wiggled the USB.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, okay. if Cratch is accurate to some extent, obviously, also the other problem would be is as the season changes, the Cratch changes. But I basically have it being Minnesota State 50, Bowling Green 48, Michigan Tech 47, Bemidji 44, Ferris State 42, Northern Michigan 41, and and St. Thomas 35. Now, I don't think that happens because a lot of that was me giving, basically I was taking the odds of winning and then basically agreeing to a threshold. And if they hit a certain threshold, they got so many of the 6 points.
Before we leave the Ferris talk too far in the dust, I wanted to talk about, I was able to go Saturday, and that was the best game from a fan perspective I've watched at Ferris in years. It was obviously a very Tech heavy crowd. As you saw on the broadcast or listened to on the radio, but that was the most involved I've seen the Ferris students in a crowd probably since Final Five of 2015.
Okay.
It's
that's
cool.
That's why we're a premier opponent.
Well, yeah, I guess we are a premier opponent now, which is a great pat on our backs, but it was nice to see, even though it was really only when the Misfit kids would, provoke them, the Ferris students would stand, at least for portions of the game.
Okay.
So, it did take a lot of the Misfits poking them, but it was really cool to see that atmosphere kind of return there, because we're really not that far removed from Ferris really being one of those atmospheres to really, command in the league, and it's kind of gone downhill once the once Ferris kind of took their dive. But it's neat to see what they're capable of doing and making that weird building work to their advantage. And Dustin is now in a disco ball again. Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's every time I try to look something up on my other screen, like open up a web page like CHN.
You got something else you can close or no? You just have Zoom open?
I have Zoom and Chrome open. That's it. I'll use my phone.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. I do think one of the redeeming qualities of the conference is the fans. And now granted, I mean, I know we're a little biased, but it's hard not to say that our crowds seem to be the best in the conference. But I do think that's a big part of what makes the CCHA what it is. I know we rag on Northern a lot, but I think the rivalry is great, and the fan support on both sides is pretty fun overall.
Yeah, and the revival of their student section, and we have to concede, has been pretty impressive.
And that's good. I mean, it should happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to hear that Ferris is heading there. I know Harrison dropped the bomb that they are trying to raise funds to build a new rink, which I think would be awesome for them.
And I wasn't able to listen to last week's episode, but that is cool news. It's not like Big Rapids is hurting for space to put things. So hopefully they're able to get that done. It would be really neat to see them.
Yeah, that actually wasn't on the podcast. That came up in Discord from the conversation about St. Thomas's new.
This is what you join the Discord for, people. Even if you just lurk, there's just good content sometimes.
And apparently Perry joined. I don't know what his screen name is, but Perry's on our Discord too now.
See, it's great. It's a great place to creep.
It does seem like we should be trying to work harder towards, like, we should have like a CCHA channel that's more open for anybody, tech fans. So we can work on that and start promoting it a little bit more. We haven't been, but we'll see. So anything else about the actual weekend? Okay, what were your thoughts being in the rink for the extra attacker time? Like, how did that feel in the rink?
What I will say is that, and I've said this the last time I was at Ferris, is Ferris is not a place you go to if you want to watch the game and absorb what is happening. It is more of a place where you just kind of feel what's going on. But during that time,
So the sight lines aren't very good is what you're
that
hearing?
That is a ringing endorsement for the new rink fund.
But that is the other thing. If you get the fans in there and they're rocking like they were, they can really make that building work to their advantage for the team. And I think we saw that to an extent. But during the extra man for Ferris, it definitely, as a fan, got your heart pumping. Like it felt like Ferris was dangerous the whole time. Even though I like how Tech looks down a man most of the time, I would stake my life on the Tech power play this year, or the Tech penalty kill rather, not the Tech power play. Lord, would I not stake my life on the Tech power play? Oh, that is a that
dead
is
man
a,
walking.
That is a that is a dying man's game right there. But yeah, they applied some great pressure. I never really felt comfortable that whole time, and it paid off for them.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to actually. I missed the game tying goal because my daughter and my girlfriend's daughter wanted to play Wii soccer, or not Switch soccer, on Switch Sports. And I was trying to get them set up with extra controllers, and I had walked away to work on that. And I actually remember telling my girlfriend that I did not feel good about the goalie being pulled. not that we've been, I feel like, I guess I don't know what the odds are on getting a goal in those situations, but it felt like, I don't think we've been horrible in those situations, but not been good.
It should be a lower percentage than being on a regular PK.
I guess.
Because you have five defenders to block block up lanes compared to four.
I suppose. You're taking up more space in theory.
You should be better on an extra defending an extra attacker situation than a PK.
Yeah. But so how many minutes did they have empty net this weekend?
That I don't know offhand.
Let me see if that wasn't in the, they don't do extra attacker in those time on ice things, right? They just do power play and penalty kill.
I believe.
I would guess that's the case because there's still six players on the ice.
They do document shots that are 6-on-5, but they don't document the time on ice in the table nicely. So I'm sure Augie could tell us, but I don't think it's charted that way. It's not easily findable in the thing. But I mean, like, I guess Tech's odds of giving up a goal, they're what, 80 some percent on the penalty kill, right? So that means one goal every 5 minutes, 6 minutes. I don't even know what that would actually be. No, that would be 66%. So more like 1 out of 8 minutes ish.
It's after 5 o'clock. I'm not going to do any math.
But what I'm trying to say is they probably had the goalie pulled for a good 3 minutes this weekend and got one goal because they pulled him Friday as well. And we missed the open net for the empty netter, right? I forget who screwed that up or missed, I guess. So what, like, it worked Friday, but it didn't work Saturday. And like you let a team like Ferris hang around and tie it back up three different times like they did on Saturday, and like you're gonna pay for it at some point, I guess. But Joe Schonauer, like, one of the things between that and what Harrison mentioned on the Discord, like, I do wonder how much of the Saturday night or the occasional struggles to finish a game come down to the over-reliance on his top three, top six forwards and top D pair. But at the same time, like, I don't know, it's two games a week. I know they're back-to-back days, but you would think a 20-year-old can handle it.
I think that's kind of overblown. Like, I don't think Joe would put them in that position if he didn't think that they're up to it. Like you said, they're 20 years old, 22 years old, whatever. They can handle two games a week.
Yeah.
I bet if you talk to the players themselves, they'd tell you the same thing.
Yeah. And I mean, Saturday night, why wouldn't you all be leaving it all on the ice when you don't have practice for, what, 48 hours and you don't have a game for six more days? Like, but yeah, anyway, did you guys get a chance to listen to the Joe Schonauer this week?
Nope.
No, I did not. I'm at my girlfriend's place trying to get our cats introduced, and it has been a hellacious process.
that sounds wonderful. That's why I have dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'm trying to think what else. So I think I touched on a lot of it. Yeah, the shootout thing, Blake size. Joe also talked a lot about the culture. He's talking about how he thinks they have a really good culture from the perspective of everybody likes each other and gets along. But he thinks, I'm putting words into his mouth. I think what he would say if I sparked sparked him on this, I wouldn't be surprised if he said it next week. But this team is missing a Brent Baltus, the kind of guy that does things the right way consistently and will push everybody else to do it as well and lead by example He doesn't think anybody on this team, player wise, is really taking that next step of forcing accountability on the team. And I can see that. And I think that does come from the leadership lost. And just that I don't know what the way he described it, what the motivations are, but it sounds like a lot of the upperclassmen are taking shortcuts and trying. And he talks about this regularly, where he's talking about the trying to create offense, but at the expense of defense. And Dirk mentioned too that, like, the cats and dogs analogy came up, where it's like, well, why isn't
my favorite?
The defense is really good, but why isn't it there all the time? Why is it so inconsistent? And I think Joe reflected on that, talking about how it's because the accountability isn't there, and I don't know. It was an interesting discussion, and you guys really should listen if you get a chance sometime. Kind of hard for me to carry this when I'm the only one that had heard it, but it was a good, it was an interesting take, and Dirk's perspective on it was good too. Like, I enjoyed listening to it, and I even, I talked to Joe on the phone a little bit today, and I told him as much, especially about the penalty shootout stuff, where it makes a ton of sense to me why the team struggles when your goalie is a small guy. And thankfully, we've said this before, thankfully 3-on-3 overtime and penalty shootouts aren't a part of things when it really matters.
Uh-huh.
The fact that the team's getting to overtime and getting to a shootout is a good thing overall, because they haven't been what they've been. Where is it here? I'm slow to find the tab. Too many things freaking open here.
So while you're looking for it, I'm looking through the roster at upperclassmen, seniors specifically, and just looking at the list of names, there aren't any names out there that jump out at you like that we've had in the past, where you could tell just from observing them and seeing how they interact on the ice and interact with their teammates and coaches, that they're like the leaders on the team. A lot of these guys really didn't have a real leading role on the team until this year, because they were behind all the leadership and all the scoring that left last year. They're kind of, they're seniors, but they're kind of thrown into the spotlight as seniors, when a lot of times, normally they're getting that kind of exposure as sophomores, juniors. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but.
Yeah, I think it does. I think how top heavy the team was last year has something to do with that. But at the same time, you still hope that one or two of them rise to the top. Now, thankfully, it hasn't turned into a, was it Gavin Gould, right? Was it Gavin or Malcolm?
No, Gavin was the one that left.
Yeah, so it hasn't turned into a Gavin Gould situation where it's like tanking the locker room or tarnishing the culture at all. And it hasn't turned into what was the other one back in our day, Dustin, the Jimmy Kerr situation, where you go from a Badavanja Skorchinski led team that basically did everything the right way to putting it in charge of Jimmy Kerr, and he's just a loose cannon that doesn't do anything right. This is way before your time, isn't it, Matt? Your look of confusion. This was like 2009, 2010.
If there's any key point in the game, if there's one thing you can count on your captain for,
taking a dumb penalty.
I would have been in eighth grade at the time. So,
yeah. Did you look up Jimmy Kerr?
No, I did not.
Oh. Even his senior year was, because we almost made the tournament one year, And then Jimmy Kerr became the captain, and we tanked. It was so bad.
But, you know, going back to what you're talking about for leadership, it's the time of the season where if you're not getting that leadership from your upperclassmen, there's nothing that says a guy like Jack Works can't jump in and become a leader of this team as an underclassman. It's a time for a guy like that to kind of step up, you know?
Yeah, and this weekend I was really impressed. Like, at least I was, like, just from the eye test being there, I was really impressed with Stauber this weekend, especially on Saturday. He looked like he was really digging deep and finishing plays, and if he'd give up a puck, he'd fight back and get it. And I think he's another one of those guys that has the ability to step up if he wants to, you know.
And I think Joe mentions Stauber, I believe, on the show today, and who else? Nardella and Jed Pietila talking about that those are the guys that are kind of leading the way, doing things the right way. And I think it fits. It's one of those things where it reminds me a lot of how Joe always talked about Rockwell, where Rockwell might not have the best skill on the team, but he's the one that's playing the system the best, the right way consistently. So that's why Joe counted on him so much. And I get that. But yeah, it's been, you know, the little conversation I had with Joe on the phone and the way he talked about everything on the show today, like I get why Joe had such low expectations for this season, because he didn't know, like, the way he talks about some of this culture stuff, it does feel like they're kind of winning in spite of it. And I do think a lot of that comes back to Blake Pietila playing as well as he has. And Tech, I think I'm sure what Joe, part of Joe's problem is about what he is getting is how inconsistent it is. Like, they played a near perfect game on Friday. So why can't you carry that over to Saturday and continue to do that?
And you say they played a near perfect game Friday. It didn't necessarily translate into an onslaught of goals, right?
No, it didn't. I do think everybody, I'm really intrigued to see what the charts show for expected goals on Friday, because a lot of people in Discord were complaining about the power play, and I was like, I don't know what more you want. They had like 3-4 really good scoring chances on a couple of those power plays. Like, you can't ask for more than 2 or 3 grade A scoring chances on a power play. They just didn't go in. And that happens sometimes. It just really sucks when it happens over and over again in the same game, where I do think they had at least a couple power plays where their expected goals were probably over 3/4 of a goal. And it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued to see what that looks like when Augie gets a chance to pull that stuff out. But I do, it's been a fun season, and I know I've said it a couple times, and I won't backtrack from it. This team has the chance to do something special in spite of all of that, because they just find a way to win often. And it does feel like sometimes, like, this is just one of those teams, and I think you texted the Slack chat about it, Dustin, Friday, right? This team just has something about it, right? There's just, like, there's just something about this team that if they can just get out of their way and play to their strengths, they can beat anybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, BU is one of the best teams in the country, so they prove they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that, especially looking at the numbers and really thinking critically about the BU game again, I think they proved that what happened with Western was a fluke, and if they really come and bring their A game, they really can take it to anyone they want to.
I don't know if I'd call it a fluke, because I think Western plays a style of game that is just really tough
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say like it was a fluke that Western won. I'm just trying to say that the performance that we saw was a fluke.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination, you know, of Tech having a bad day and Western playing a weekend of perfection, basically.
Right. And what I'm saying is I don't necessarily think that if it was a week later, we're flipping that from a loss to a win, but I think that would have at least been a competitive game.
Yeah.
You know?
I so, do have a feeling.
Luckily, Pairwise doesn't care.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, it's. Yeah. And it's weird to see like a team that was that dominant that in at the GLI is. I don't even know where they're sitting. Aren't they in the. Aren't they?
They're not too far ahead of us. Yeah.
Yeah. They're right there, like 10th. And not really, record wise, not really a whole lot. They're actually worse than Tech as a actual win percentage.
Tenth.
But their strength of schedule is much harder, according to Cratch. Mm-hmm. Or the CHN power rankings.
It would be nice if Western just goes on and wins out.
So one other big thing that I mentioned in Discord about this weekend against Ferris is by not getting swept by Ferris, we have basically guaranteed that we will have the comparison with Michigan State for the rest of the season. There's nothing Michigan State can do to flip that comparison now, because we have a better record against Ferris than they do. It cannot get worse than their record against, I forget. Yeah. They're 0-1 against Ferris, thanks to the GLI. So our record against Ferris cannot get worse, get down to zero. And our record against Bowling Green cannot get worse than their record against Bowling Green. So we are destined to stay above them no matter what happens. So in the grand scheme of things, we would like Michigan State to win a bunch of freaking games the rest of the year, be ahead of us, but we win the comparison, which helps us get higher in the standings. So that's actually a really cool thing that happened. The Bemidji State comparison is looking better every weekend. Hopefully we can go into Bemidji in a couple weeks and do some damage. What else was on our rundown here? Anything else really about the CCHA?
I think this weekend really proved that St. Thomas is not a bad team. They were able to pick up that win against Bowling Green. They were able to tie them the following night. A lot of people were really quick to get down on Tech last week when they dropped the game to St. Thomas. And I completely understand that if you're thinking about last year's team, but this is not last year's St. Thomas. They're a much better group. If you look at the standings, they're still in the mix of things. I think they're pretty much out of contention for McNaughton, but they could still make a run at home ice if a few more pieces fall right. And they're not a team to just overlook on the schedule anymore. I just thought that was my main takeaway, was that they proved that it was not a fluke that they played as well as they did in Houghton. It was I don't want to say they're for real, but they're not a team you can take for granted.
Yeah, they're another team. They have 5 home games left.
Yeah,
now, granted, that's... the one thing it, like, they obviously have a chance to fight for home ice with their schedule, but they have a tough schedule left. They've got home and home with Minnesota State.
It's gonna be a fight.
Home against Bemidji, home against Northern, and on the road to Lake State. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. I mean, it's going to be an interesting chase to the end here to see who hits the top four, who wins McNaughton. I don't know. I think I agree with Harrison, who said last week that his money was on not Bowling Green, but at the same time, I have a hard time picking against Minnesota State. I really do.
I think if there was a year to pick against them, it's this one. I think that it's tough for me to pick Tech for McNaughton, but I think if there was a year to make the homer pick, I feel you might like want to think about this one.
Yeah, no, I know. I think Tech has a good shot, and I have a feeling. I said it last week. I have a feeling that unless something drastic goes wrong here, I think if Michigan Tech or Minnesota State sweep that last series, whoever it is going to win McNaughton. I think if they split or 4-2 points kind of thing, I think somebody else might be able to sneak up and win it. But if somebody sweeps that weekend, I think they're getting the cup.
I think that's probably right. I would agree with that.
And yeah, I think Harrison was right too, that I think Bemidji State was kind of the front runner until they laid an egg at Bowling Green 2 weeks ago.
Yep, I am. I think that's a fair assessment as well.
But
Harrison having an accurate take is pretty tough. It's pretty tough for me to wrap my head around.
I love how he's never going to let Tim Rapley live down his pick of Lake State.
It's fun because even I let him live it down, and I was one of the first people to dunk on him. Like as he was doing it, I was like, you know what? He really for me, it's just the fact that he walked it back like immediately. He was like, yeah, that team looked really bad through the first couple weeks. I'm not sure anymore. So
yeah, remember how excited we were with that exhibition win against them?
Yeah, we were like, that's supposed to be one of the best teams, and we just unloaded on them. We're going to be sweet this year.
And that turned out to be true, but
but not in the way we thought it was going to be. Yeah, yeah. I do remember being really juiced up about it. I'm like, this team is supposed to be really good. And then
so if all goes well, I can drop this now. Right after this break.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
We fund everything a Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
All right, get that other commercial break in there. I thought that was kind of funny. next week, if all goes well, we are going to have Jordy Murray, the newest assistant coach of Michigan Tech, on the podcast. And I think our first question is going to be about his perception of the upcoming weekend and how the rivalry is and where that ranks for him. So we've got the big rivalry weekend this weekend against Northern Michigan. What are you guys' thoughts going into the weekend?
I hate predicting Northern series. I just really do, because even though Northern's had a bit of a slide, Tech's had a much better than expected season. When you have a rivalry as heated as that one, you just kind of have to throw it out the window. So I'm gonna predict a split that leans in Tech's favor, and by that I mean they win in regulation at home and they win in overtime at the Berry.
Tech wins in overtime,
or Tech Northern wins in overtime. That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah, I this would be an awesome weekend for Michigan Tech to finally pull off would it be the second time they pull off a 6-point weekend in conference? I forget now.
Based on what you said earlier,
I can't remember. I thought it was one or none. I can't remember now.
I think you said one earlier.
Yeah. So it'd be nice if they could finally pull off I guess the only other one was the sweep at St. Thomas. So it would be nice to pull off another, just their second sweep in conference play of the season, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. I think. I do think this is the kind of weekend that kind of plays out a lot like last time. Kind of what you said, Matt, where Michigan Tech wins at home and Northern wins in overtime or shootout at home. That seems pretty likely, probably a little too chalk, but I think that's probably likely. For as much as Northern has struggled this year, it's been interesting because it does feel like, other than Minnesota State being in the top half, that the whole league is kind of playing very differently than we all thought it would before the season started.
We're still midway through. We still got a good slate of games left to play, but even if we kind of lay an egg down the stretch, it's kind of tough for me to think of the season as anything other than a success given our expectations going in.
Yeah, but I don't know what the preseason said, but the preseason certainly did not have Lake State 8th and Northern 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And Ferris State almost in the driver's seat for home ice right now. And the other thing that's hard to judge about everything is how imbalanced the number of games is. Bowling Green's got 20 played already. Bemidji, Northern, Ferris are at 16 and everybody else is at 18. So it's really hard to judge everything when it's that imbalanced. And some teams have, five or six home games left and some teams have three, like Tech. Cato's in the same boat. Their only home games left are one half of the St. Thomas series and then the Michigan Tech series to end the season. So it's just a really interesting league. But Dustin, what do you think about this coming weekend for Tech?
Well, I guess since I'm going last, I have to be the optimistic one and say that Tech is going to sweep.
That would be awesome.
I'll say if it is a sweep, there's going to be one of those games that is going to be 100% on Blake Pietola's shoulders, and he's going to steal one.
I think that's another bold
prediction.
I think that's the other possibility here is Tech plays. I wouldn't be surprised if this weekend goes Tech playing a near perfect game on Friday, wins it, and it's not really a Blake Pietola showed a stellar performance. Like, he does really well, but it's not about him. He's not the reason mm-hmm. they won.
Right.
And then on Saturday night, he steals one. That's a complete possibility too. Because I do think that's part of the reason we've gotten where we have is Tech plays at least one good game every weekend, pretty much. And they usually find a way to win that one. And then they struggle in the other one, and it kind of comes down to how good of a game Blake has or Max. But I don't think Max is playing this weekend. I don't even know when he would play again now that I'm looking at it. Yeah, I don't
know. Probably won't. I mean, I'd like to see him play, but he probably won't play again this year unless something happens to Blake.
Which is a shame because I do feel, at least in what I've seen, I feel confident about the future with Max in the net as well.
Well, he can be pretty confident that, there's going to be a lot on his shoulders next year. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Blake calls it or not, because he can play another year.
Yeah. I'm sure the rest of the conference would love to see that happen, but.
But even if he doesn't, I'm not at all.
No, I agree with that. But at the same time, I think you could. It'll be interesting to see if he wants to run it back or not. And I wouldn't be surprised if he and Logan do, because Chase is supposed to come in next year.
No, we have four of them next year.
Yeah.
We have some potential for some downright comical commentary if everything goes right.
What is our team record for Pietola's on a roster? Is it only three?
I think it is three.
This might go for the belt on it, yeah.
Because it was Chad, Aaron, and who was the third one?
Was it Blake?
Was it Blake and then? I don't even
like,
know.
Like the first Blake?
Blake.
Blake 1, yeah.
Blake 1, Blake 2. It's like thing. There's our t-shirt idea. We'll make thing 1 and thing 2 shirts, except it says Blake 1 and Blake 2.
We could just make Pietola shirts and have like things like 1 through 15.
There we go. But yeah, well, that's what we could do is thing 1 and thing 2 and have it be Blake Pietola. What was the skater's number? I'm forgetting now. Do you have a Blake Pietola jersey, Dustin?
We might. I'd have to go up and look. I don't remember which guys we got. I think one of them might have been Pietola.
Okay. I know one of them's Johnstone, but
we got a Johnstone jersey. We got Johnstone and definitely Caro. The other one might have been Pietola.
But that would be funny if we did that, huh?
Yeah, is your Johnstone a gamer?
No, it's just an authentic.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I have a buddy who's got a Johnstone gamer. I have a Caro gamer from his freshman year.
Nice. Yeah, I don't have any gamers.
Yeah, the only game worn one I have
not
is
college gamers anyway.
Yeah, Ryan good Bungers. Luck trying to scoop one from Ryan.
Yeah, the only one that I got is, no, it's not Bungers, because that one I got made. It's a 25 for back in the day.
That Nielsen?
I think it was Carl Nielsen.
Okay.
Because the Bunger one is one that we got made.
Yeah. Bunger.
Yep.
Good old times.
And then I have a Teslac one that was it made too.
All right. So one other thing that we might as well talk about, because it was kind of annoying. I watched a video of a news broadcast of a place that obviously the woman had no idea how to say anything, but it was like a local news broadcast talking about the Canucks firing Bruce Boudreau.
Yes.
And she botched Bruce's name and the Canucks name like four
and
different
then,
times.
And then and it she was also she also botched Rick Tocchet's name too.
Oh, did she? Okay. Yeah, it was hilarious. Where was that from?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it was just like there was not even an attempt.
I'm a little confused as to what went down because I don't pay enough attention. But so what went down that he was like fired but still coached like four more games, or that's what it felt like?
Yeah, it's just from what I understand, they wanted to let him go at that game because their next stretch of games is fairly winnable.
Okay. So they wanted the new coach to come in with an easy schedule.
That's essentially what I believe it.
So basically what happened was their plan got leaked before it should have. And so everybody knew he was getting fired in like two more games when he wasn't actually fired yet.
That's more or less what I make of the situation. Yeah.
Okay. I feel really bad for him because like he's
one of the
really liked him as a Wild coach, and I think he's an awesome guy, and he brought us like the greatest hockey gif ever. Darn.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the fans totally were in on it because they were rooting for or cheering for him right at the games. And
well, yeah, because he's one of those guys who's just always been super likable, and we've had the displeasure of having to talk about bad coaching practices quite a bit on this podcast. But he was one of those guys who would, like, at the beginning of the day would just write a number, like one of the players' numbers on the whiteboard, and that just meant that was that player's turn to come in and talk to him. And then most of the time they wouldn't even talk about hockey. It would just be like, you know, how's the family? Like, what's going on with you? And it was just really, he was just seemed like one of those genuinely good people that wanted to be sure that everyone was well taken care of in their everyday life before being hockey players. And then he obviously, his success as a hockey coach also kind of speaks for itself. So that's another reason that people are just so upset, is that how do you treat a guy who's not only a great hockey coach, but is also just an outstanding person, like the way that they have. It's pretty despicable, you know?
Yeah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of on that topic, Bell Let's Talk Day happens this week. If you're a patron, you'll hear this possibly before, on that day, but this Wednesday is Bell Let's Talk Day, even though this podcast drops on Thursday. That's why we did our David Let's Talk episode a couple weeks ago, and it's already gotten apparently 128 listens. It sounds like David really helped us play up those listens on Facebook, so I'll try and be promoting that here this week with Bell Let's Talk Day to get the word out about that one. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to that one, go back and listen. It's a good conversation. I think, I don't know how to put it. It was a tough conversation for sure. And a little bit different than the other two that we've done, just because of the scope of what happened with David and what's going on with him, that it's a little different. And I think for me, probably what I struggled with more is that it was, less personally relatable to me and my story. So I didn't feel like I had as much to say as I did with our first two guests for that topic. So, but it was still a good chat. I think Matt did a great job of having the conversation with David. And I think that's about it. Anything else you guys want to say that's going on in hockey right now? Good?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
All right. Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/tech hockey guide. We've got a bunch of different levels. Check them out. Figure out which one's best for you and help support the podcast so we can keep bringing you all this great content. We're going to try and do another live podcast at some point. Maybe we'll try and all get together this summer at the FibKey compound. And do one there. And then we'll teach you all what how to spell FibKey, since it took me years to figure out that it was the Turbo Agency and not the Turbo or Viterbo Agency for Michigan Tech. We're hoping to get somebody else that edits the podcast here soon. If that happens, I promise that I will get better about actually scheduling these Zoom chats with various people. Which I think would be great if we can get back to doing that, you know, monthly, maybe on Tuesday nights. Let's see. Follow us on Twitter at Chasing Mac Pod or at Tech Hockey Guide. You can submit questions through Twitter, Facebook, or on our Patreon page. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. If you've got a question for Jordy Murray, who will hopefully work out and be on the podcast next week, go ahead and, you know, send us a message now or put it in our Discord. I'll make sure that Nick adds the link to our Discord to this week's liner notes, so you guys can all check that out if you haven't yet. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I think I said that, didn't I? If you can't find the podcast in your site of choice, please let us know and make it happen. The more you rate, review, and share, the more people we can reach. So tell your friends. If you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Dustin will read the review, and if you leave a review, and we'll read it no matter what on the podcast. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, FibKey Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and Livonia Technical Services. Special thanks to Mitch Lake for recording our introduction, and our patron saint, Doc McResin, for his generous donation to get this thing running. We hope you enjoy. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.